Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Oh, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. You're the God who answers prayer, you're the one who answers by fire. We give you praise. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy name. We bless you, Lord, you are holy.
And forever you are God.
And forever you are God.
We bless you, Lord, you are holy. And forever you are God.
And forever you are God.
We bless you, Lord, you are holy.
Holy Lord.
And forever you are God.
So our Father will give you praise this morning. And we thank you. Because you know, we know that you hear us always. And you are the one that answers by fire. We thank you for all the workers this morning. Thank you for your hand of protection, particularly for this season in Nigeria. We give you praise. We say we are exalted in Jesus' name. Father, this morning I ask that you will speak to us in ways only you can and heal our specific issues. Let them be treated as matters of urgency. I give you praise, dear Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Streams of Life. Amen. Now, this morning, workers' meeting, I'm going to start a new conversation with you, titled Don't Lose Your Fire. Don't Lose Your Fire. That's the title. Don't Lose Your Fire. And there's a reason for that subject, and I'd like us all to please pay attention. Now, I take a text from the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We start the reading from verse 1. 2 Timothy 3 from verse 1. If you are there, say amen. 2 Timothy 3 from verse 1. Now says, this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. The word perilous there, talk about the days of great stress and trouble. Amplify says, perilous days are days that are hard to deal with and hard to bear. The CB translation says that the last days will be dangerous times. The good news says it will be difficult times. God's word says it will be violent period. So the word peril suggests that it's dangerous. I love the way the Amplified translations put it. It says, don't be naive. Sorry, the Message translation. Now, I'm going to teach this morning. It's teaching. Amen. I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. So you have to pay keen attention. Message says, don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, contemptuous. To be contemptuous means to be full of contempt, to be full of degrading thoughts and remarks. Contemptuous of parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unbending, slanderous, impulsive, wild, savage, cynical. I love that word, cynical. It's another word for people who are critical, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags, addicted to lust. Now, when you hear this, people can be addicted to lust. Once you start seeing lust in your heart, you pray it out. But you can be addicted to it and be comfortable and just, you know, just like it. Just like it. Amen. But that's one of the characteristics of the last days. Now, look at the last one. He said, an allergic to God. People are allergic to God. You know, when you are allergic to things, it means it repulses you. Your system fights it. There are people whose system fight God. Now, say they will make a show of religion, but behind the scenes, they are animals. Stay clear of such people. So let me go back to King James that spoke in a language quite simple. Amen. All right. Now, say traitors, eddy, high-minded lovers of pleasure. I'm in verse 4 now. More than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turned away. So the Bible describing that these are the signs that we will see in the last days. That's why I'm teaching the subject. Don't lose your fire. Now, go with me quickly to Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew 24. We'll start reading from verse 12. Matthew 24, verse 12 says, because iniquity will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Because iniquity will abound, love of many will wax cold. Amplified says, and the love of great body of people will grow cold because of multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. Have you seen that? There's multiplication in lawlessness. Now, have you ever wondered how lawlessness affects your own love? Let me explain. It does. There is a way lawlessness affects your love for God. Let me give you this instance. Two examples in one situation. I remember myself and my wife got married newly. You know, we were going through that adjustment phase where you are adjusting to each other's, and please pay attention, each other's likes and dislikes, living together, something you've never done before. So we had quite a bit of, you know, bends, of not for long. And in those situations, we had two friends, two family friends. First was one who had been married long before us. And each time they come around us, because of the level of synergy they've been able to build over the years, we are motivated and challenged that we can be there. But there's these other guys that are always fighting, always insulting each other, always cursing at each other, always saying bad things to and doing the wrong things to each other. And I noticed that contact with them tends to give a sense of complacency, that after all, we are not like them. But you will not know when you start the journey. So, in the days of lawlessness, there are many people who are doing things that can make you feel, after all, you are not like them. But you have started the journey. So, after all, give me examples now. You're a young lady on campus trying to pursue God and seek Him. And then you have other people, young girls like yourself, who are keeping 4-5 relationships. There is a tendency, you say, after all, I'm not like that person. But you can be misbehaving in yours. I say, after all, it's just one person. You see, so lawlessness has a way of choking your spiritual fire. Now let me read in another translation. CEB says, because disobedience will expand, the love of many will grow cold. You see? Yeah. God's Word translation says, and because there will be more and more lawlessness, most people's love will grow cold. And why does this happen? Like I've showed to you, people compare themselves with themselves. Say, after all, I've only stopped praying for an hour, but I still do 20 minutes. But that's my roommate who doesn't pray at all and is a pastor. I feel the most dangerous person to cope with is somebody you've never seen praying. Because it will affect you. I have very serious issues for believers who don't have routine. You can't last. You can't last. And that's why you will see that every health practices are procedural. Because it takes procedure to rescue people. You can't just do it by impulse. Do you understand what I'm saying? It takes procedures. All right? Iniquity will abound. So your love for God is the fire in your spirit. Please note that. Or the love of God burning in your heart is His fire in your spirit. The love of God burning in your heart is His fire in your spirit. Now look at it. Revelation chapter number 2. We'll start the reading from verse 1. Now this is a letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus, or to the pastor of the church in Ephesus. Revelation chapter number 1. We'll start the reading from verse 2. Now says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this thing says he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because you have left your first love. That's a very powerful word. Amplified says, but I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left, you have abandoned the love that you have at first. You have deserted me, your first love. And now I discovered in my walk with God that God is not just interested in being loved. He wants to be your first love. You see, there is something about first love. Look up, everybody. First love cannot be described in terms of the relationship you first entered. I don't know. That's corrupt love. Are you feeling what I'm saying? It's not in terms of the first girl you saw. You know, I remember the case. I don't want to share the case. I was in secondary school. All right? I had quite a fair share of some funny stuff. Very, very funny case. Amen. But that who cares about that? There is the love that we have at salvation. There is no love that can be pure like that love. All right? In fact, the only time the Bible tried to bring something close in description, the only word God could find, not that it matches, but closely in a bit of description, is the love of a mother for a sucking child. Now I'm teaching here. Amen. So it says, because you have left your first love. So it means something happened to you at salvation that was not common. Something happened. You know, just like you are entering campus, you will not know that there's something happening to you in part one, first semester. You've not written any exam, that will not be common. And that's the fact that you have your 5.0 GP intact. The remaining part of your years on campus will be your attempt to reduce or to maintain. You see, you've not written any exam, you've not written any test, you've not written anything, you are perfect, you're fine. Amen. So at salvation, you have the love of Christ perfected in your heart. Perfected. And that's why you see that at salvation, you were more than ready and more than willing to do many things for God. Are you following me now? You were more than ready. How many of you still remember when you first gave your life to Christ? I remember mine. Amen. Going to church was not difficult. And by the grace of God, it is not now. Not because I'm a pastor. Are you following me now? But because there is what you have at salvation is 100% the love of Christ. And the Bible described that love as what? First love. Somebody say first love. Come on, say it again. Say it again. So the question is, where is your first love? Because that love in your heart is the fire of the Spirit burning in your heart. See, you cannot, and that's the mistake people have made. I'm going to show you where the division came from. Because this church have works. This church have labors. This church is a church that tries false apostles and check them. Meaning that they were quite Berean in nature, because the way you try is with the word. Are you following me now? But at the same time, they've lost the first love. Meaning that if you had entered into the church at Ephesus, you will see that they are passionate about doing, but sacrifice was missing. Your first love is typified in sacrifice. Write it down. Your first love is typified in sacrifice. The moment the ability to go and sacrifice dies, it doesn't matter what your excuses are, your first love is dead. And now look up, everybody. Just like relationship, like as in marriage, as in marital intended relationship, every well-meaning relationship that will stand the test of time comes with a package of commitment. And when you open that commitment, you see sacrifice. Amen? So, when myself and my wife started relationship, for instance, I had to leave from Ibadan to Bongon to see her. Every time. I talk to her most times. Amen? She there. Okay? Most times, her dad and mom, they are seated. They are trying. I want to know what you are telling my daughter. Amen. And then sometimes I'm able to smuggle her out and say, can we go on a walk? You see. And some other times I say, let's sit in the car and talk. Because once it is love, you are committed to privacy. Listen. Listen. Look up. Drop your writing gadget. Let me explain. The moment you see that your public display of affection is stronger than the private display. Now, by that, I'm talking to people who have been able to separate love from sin. Then it means that there is no love there. You will find a man who is in love with God always yearning for private moment with him, in prayer, in intimacy. Are you following me? The moment that has stopped in study of the word, then we can deduce that the love is dead. But this is what I'm trying to tell you. Love comes with a package of commitment. Commitment. You can't love God and not be committed to Him. Amen? You can't. You can't love God and not be committed to Him. You can't. You see, I remember this story. I can't remember what year. One of my very interesting Christian brothers were staying together and he became sick. And he had typhoid. And he was hospitalized. And this is a brother we prayed together, fast together, and story together. As a matter of fact, in the early days of the ministry, when God was telling me about the fact that there's going to be a church, we spent bulk of the time while he was drafting the manual for their ministry. I was also drafting manuals and templates for our ministry. So we spent bulk of those times together, Christmas period, every festive season, spending together in fasting and prayer. And he was sick. And he was in the hospital. And I was with him, sleeping in the hospital. And one of those nights, he hurt, and something happened, he threw up. And everywhere was actually smelling, you see. And the nurses wouldn't come close. So I just got Parker, got up, and I scooped it with my hands. Now, I get naturally irritated. All right? I get naturally. I don't like any environment that communicate anything if it's not pleasant. But I couldn't feel it. So I scooped with my hands and I mopped everywhere. And I saw him looking at me there. And he was crying. And he said to me, he said, Pastor Femi, you mean you do this for me? I saw you with your bare hands. It didn't occur to me. You see, if you can count it while doing it, it won't count. It's no longer love. See, love makes you feel like you're out of your senses. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And most times when people are trying to get into marriage, they don't understand that that is the kind of love you need to survive in a marriage. Because you see the person in their most vulnerable state. Permit me to use the word in their most repulsive state. That will not always make sense. And it takes people who have found love beyond feelings and come to the realm of what? Commitment. Somebody say commitment. Come on now, say it again. Say it again. Commitment. So you cannot separate your spiritual fire from your love for God. Say it again, they are inseparable. Come on, say it again. Come on, say it again. You can't separate them. And you need to understand this. The moment you try to separate them, you move to the realm of performance. Because the Ephesian church was a church. But not a sacrificial church. It says you have left your first love. So you'd see that when you come to the church at Ephesus, people, the things they would naturally do for God in the next, probably some 5 years ago, some 10 years ago, they were not doing it again. They found reasons not to. Amen? Now I'm going somewhere. So the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart is also directly proportional to His fire that is born in your heart. Because your heart was described in Leviticus chapter number 6 as an altar. Leviticus 6, we'll start reading from verse 9. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 6. If you're there, please say amen. Leviticus chapter number 6. All right, so we'll start the reading from verse 9. It says, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of burnt offering. So what you're about to see here is a law. Because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. The priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire had consumed with a burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garment, and put on other garment, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be burning it. Now let me explain. Look up. Look up. So at this point, because I'm speaking to workers, I'm going to show you a principle here. Amen. And if you are going to survive your spiritual walk, you have to hear this. All right? If not, you'll be in trouble. It's just a matter of time. See, let me say this to you. There is a posture you will have in terms of serving God, that being in trouble is settled. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of when you will be in trouble and be humbled. Listen to what I want to share with you now. Very, very important. It says that first a fire should be burning on the altar day and night. He said, but the priest will put on their priestly garment. All right? And carry forth the ashes out of the camp into a clean place. Now, he said the ashes in verse 10 now says that the ashes, all right, are the burnt offering. Listen to this, that the fire had consumed. The burnt offering that the fire had consumed. So the priest should take the ashes out. Because anything that goes to the altar is supposed to experience fire and death. All right? That's what should happen to enter God. It should not experience decadence. It is fire, then death. All right? But there is a reason why the priest must put on their priestly garment while doing this. Please pay attention. It means in your priesthood duty, two things happens. Number one, you burn fire and burnt offering before God. Number two, you carry out the proof of yesterday's burning. That is, there are things that are happening in your life that are not necessarily a sign that you're on fire today, but they are a product of the fact that you burned yesterday. It takes priesthood to get rid of them. Now, let me explain something. Look up. By the grace of God, I've been preaching for a while. And by the grace of God, now I have nothing less than 1,000+ messages. I mean, that will even be small. So, there are loads of teachings of different kinds. Please look up. This is where many people experience danger. And this is where many ministers get snared. If you do something repeatedly, if you do it again and again and again and again, you're going to get into something called the overflow. Meaning that if you sing again and again and again and again, very soon you will know how to sing. And the danger of that level is that you will still know how to sing with or without inspiration. Now I've lost you. There's something about repetition. Is that you get to a point where you have become a master at the practice, with or without the presence. That is, you can preach good messages without praying. Amen. Now, for instance, now, I've been up, all right, since 2:05. Are you following what I'm saying here? And I've had to revise my notes. and then I vowed to burn incense in prayer. But the truth is, at this stage of my life, I know by the grace of God, and I'm saying this just so you can know how it is, what text to bring together to bring a good body of message. So there is that temptation that you don't really need to pray. But the secret of any minister or anyone that will glow is that prayer. The moment you can yield to the temptation of performance, that's the beginning of your journey to death and decline. So there comes a time that you have become one with your gift. You see that? You become one with your gift. And you may think you don't need God. And that's where many people fall. That's where many people crash. That's where many people fail. That's where many fail God. At that point where they have become one with their gift. That's when they stop burning incense. Because now that season also reveals the fact that there are very few people who are in touch with God because they love Him. Many are in touch with Him because they want a form of anointing, they want a form of power, they want a form of manifestation, they want a form of publicity, they want a form of announcement, they want a form of this and that. But those who are in touch with God because they are in love with God will survive phases like this. They'll survive it. You notice that despite their exploits, you can't do a day without contact with Him. Do you know you can still share scriptures and people will be wowed even when you no longer read the Bible? Amen. You can. And they'll be, wow, like what? What is this? You know, because you've been doing it for a while. And you have become a professional. So the difference between a priest and a professional is the continuity of fire. You see, that's the difference. A professional doesn't need fire. A priest needs it. A professional only needs skills, needs experience, needs his prowess. But a priest needs fire. And what we do when we pray is that we communicate our absolute dependence on God. Now, listen. I understand from experience that if I'm not in touch with God through prayer and study, I will fall a billion times over. You fall. See, you can't stand by your own ability. You can't. Look at your neighbor and say, be humble. See, listen. Look up. Let me tell you this that will humble you. There is no such thing as I'm a naturally disciplined person. It is that dependence on God. As you pray, what you do is that, all right, He helps your infirmity. And that's what the author of Hebrews was saying in Hebrews 4 verse 15. Says, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, seeing that He was in all point tempted like we are, but yet without what? Sin. Meaning that I may be weak, but allow me pray. You see that? Allow me pray. Now, one of the reasons why many Christians fall is that they don't take it all to God in prayers. You see, the principle of prayer is that you don't pray in deceit. You pray in sincerity. Oh Lord, here I am. You know my frame. And you know my current condition. And I make bold to call them out. To say that as your son, I need your help in this regard. See, you cannot go before God and call it out and come back weak. The problem is that many have never prayed about their predicament. See, your heart all by itself has the natural ability to embrace dust and debris. It has the natural ability to embrace death and destruction. It has the natural ability to embrace that which kills and that which destroys. It is in the place of prayer that we communicate our weakness in exchange for His strength, His priesthood. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me share this issue with you. And because I'm speaking to workers I'm going to share these issues with you. I remember in the height of, the season where God began to inspire me towards paying several prices and making several spiritual sacrifices in prayer and fastings, all of a sudden I discovered, and that I talk to you very sincerely and the way it is, I discovered that there was a sister among the Eskos that when I get to church, I mean, I was not in a relationship, so I felt, okay, it's normal to like somebody, then maybe you can see where it goes. But this wasn't normal. I just discovered that. I just became fond of her. We don't talk, but I just became... And a few times she missed church service. And I noticed I was not easy. Now, listen. The problem is that many have already been living irregular lives. So when irregularity comes, it meets irregularities on ground. You see, they've been living lustful lives. So when lust comes, it meets lust on ground. So it's just like normal. But you also notice that. And then I remember then I was using, there's this phone, Nokia Express Music. I can't forget. And a few times I'd go on social media, WhatsApp, was it around the season that WhatsApp just came out? If there was any WhatsApp at all, I think Togo. Yeah. And I will go on Togo and check a picture. And every time that was happening. And one day, I said, now listen, you see, you may laugh as you want it, but I'm just sharing with you so you can understand. I went to God in the place of prayer and I said, my Father, my God, I can't cope anymore. What are you saying about this sister? I do not like what is happening to me. Help my heart. You see. And the Lord did. You know what he did? He showed me the sister in a vision. He showed me the sister as at then, was it another 5-6 years? And he showed me myself another 5-6 years. And we didn't look compatible. And that's how he died. He helps your infirmities when you pray. See, don't lie about your bleeding finger. You will lose your fire that way. You cry to God in sincerity of heart, in honesty. Now, one of the things people that we've lost is that we've lost the art of praying in honesty. Honest cry. And that's when you do that, you are actually exchanging your weakness for a strength. You are exchanging your... Now, there are a few times, not a few times, a lot of times, that in ministry my heart has been bruised and battered and I will go to God in prayers in tears. God, I cannot deny the fact that in this situation I'm offended. Now it's left for you to help me. When you are offended, don't say I'm not offended. You are offended. Oh Lord, I cannot deny the fact that this fellow's response to me and all that, I'm hot. But now I need help. Because I still have priesthood duty to perform. So you cannot separate prayer from spiritual fire. You cannot. Once you stop praying, you stop burning. Once you stop praying, you stop burning. And many people have said, oh, I don't know what to pray about when I go to the place of prayer. The less you pray, the less you know what to pray about. The less you pray, the less you know what to pray about. The more you pray, the more you know what to pray about. So how do you know what to pray about? Start by praying. The Bible says, for we know not how to pray as we ought to. All right, but the Holy Spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Meaning that in the place of prayer, I can actually come and say, God, I do not. Do you know there are situations that will happen to your life and actually you don't know how to pray out of that situation? Yes. Now, I saw one of my beloved sister posted something on her Twitter yesterday. And she said, dear Lord, help us. Dear Lord, thank you. Dear Lord, this. And then I said, I know exactly this kind of prayer. That moment where you say, God, I don't know what to do. You see, think one of the mistakes we are making is not preparing believers for tough days ahead. Because there will be tough days. Do you know there will be days in your life? Look up, everybody. Look up. And let me say this, and I'm not saying it as a word of prophecy, but I'm telling you just as a simple fact. Do you know there will be days in your life where you'll be grieved? Do you know days will come in your life where you'll be bereaved of someone you really love and you never thought they would go so soon? Yes. Do you know there will be days where there can be losses of some sort? How do you pray? Because those are moments that prayers will not flow. Unless a pattern has been built. There are people who know how to pray to God in good days, but does not know how to pray in bad days. But you would think, listen to this, you would think it is even easier to pray in bad days. It's not true. It's easier to pray in good days. Because when the sad days comes, a lot is happening. And that's when you struggle to say, Abba, Father. Because at that moment, God doesn't look Abba. But he's still God. And that's why what he wants to do is that he wants to build a pattern. He wants to build a system. He wants to build a system of help in you. Can I hear amen to that? He wants to help you understand and know him beyond the sweet feelings you have. He wants to help you mature. Now, let me also share another example. And probably the reason why I have these examples to share is because I had a fair share in this regard in my life. And I felt the devil came for me in those regards. And somehow, I felt the reason why I also had a lot of troubles when it comes to the issue of marriage and a lot of that, and then, you know, praying ahead as a single guy, was because I saw a pattern on ground and I tried to escape the pattern with my common sense. Just so you know that some of those things are not necessary. But I remembered the time that I was actually going after a sister. And at some point, I knew that this sister was dating about 4 brothers. But I still liked her. I found out, I said, oh God, but they say she can't change and they can't work. And it's not going to work. Because there are some kind of repairs that are not necessary for where God is taking you to. Because it's not going to be complete repair. Amen. Amen to that. It's not going to be complete repair. God is taking you somewhere far. And it's not going to put you beside a spouse where you are not sure whether the spouse is cheating or not. Because he needs your sanity. But in the moment where your heart betrays you, the Holy Ghost won't engage him. Amen. Engage him. See, like I said, the problem is that we don't bring it all to God in prayer. How many people dare to go before God? Father, now look at it. I thank you for my life and I thank you this for everything. But Daddy, you know, for some months now, I've been walking in lust. God is not going to say, really? He knows. But it starts dying when you call it. Hey, the issue is that many people have still not discovered God as Abba. Or probably you were not born in a kind of home where you can tell your father, I have a weakness. I remembered when my father found my love letter note. Secondary school. You see? And he kept the note. He didn't say anything to me. And I didn't say anything to him. I remember we sat down before the television that same night to watch CNN. And I was suspecting him. He was suspecting me, you see. But it's an Africanized home that is built on pseudo-strength, not helping each other in weaknesses. But that is not the image of God's fatherhood. God repairs. God strengthens. God helps. God makes. God heals. Are you following what I'm saying here? He heals. He heals your infirmities. He takes away your weaknesses. But you've got to say it in prayer. You notice that you are becoming desperate because your finance is affected. Tell him. You notice that you already begin to think of options you never wanted to think of because now you are facing insult and shame. Tell him. Tell him that, oh God, this. He heals. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in times of need. That's priesthood of God, of Christ. He gives help. Oh God, you know I've not been able to pray for some days now. I need help and strength as I pray. Then start the prayer. Then you'll see that somewhere along the line, not a distant moment from then, the Holy Ghost comes and awares you. The way to pray when you have stopped praying is not to think about prayer, but to pray. Amen? It's not to... See, but you've got to learn to yield to the Spirit so His Spirit can help you and heal your infirmity. And as you pray, you discover that your strength was never needed. It was just your cooperation. Because it is His strength for our weaknesses. It is His strength for our weaknesses. I didn't hear amen to that. I said it is His strength for our weaknesses. Thank God I can be weak, but He can't be. And as long as He's my pillar of refuge, He's my ever-present help. Have you meditated on that scripture? That is, there's no time I go to God for help and He says there's no help. He's the ever-present help in times of need. Any kind of need is the ever-present help in times of need. Any kind of need is the ever-present help in times of need. Any times of need. Now, listen to this. When you go to Him and you don't seem to be getting help, it can be your religious mind playing against you. Do you know your religious mind can remind you of your mistakes of yesterday? God does not bring such memory to you. God doesn't. When He forgives, He throws your sins of the past into the ocean of forgetfulness. He forgives completely. God is not a baby that is trying to remind you. You remember yesterday that you ignored me, right? And now you've come to me now. I'm going to do you shake it. That's not God. That's not God saying, and you know, for 2 weeks he's not been praying. And then, no. When you come to Him, the moment you come to Him, what He's doing is repair. He's the ever-present help in times of trouble. Say it again. God is my ever-present help in times of trouble. Come on, say it loud and clear. Say it again. God is my ever-present help in times of trouble. Say it again, God is my ever-present help in times of trouble. So even when the prodigal son said to him, he asked for the father's inheritance early. He betrayed the trust of the father. He went to a distant land and he squandered everything. Till he got to the point where he began to eat with pigs. And he said in his heart, sometimes that's all you need. That even the least of my father's servants are not eating with pigs. If I can, my father, and if at all I can become the least of his servants. But you see, going back to God will not even make you become the least of his people. Amen. Psalms 100 verse 2 says, know you not that he is God, he is our God, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. He's our father. And when he ran to the, when he got to the father, the Bible says the father saw him from afar and he ran towards him and he embraced him. Because the only thing God gives is help. Is help. The Holy Spirit is not the spirit of condemnation. He gives help. Isaiah chapter number 40 now. Look at it. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. I started reading from verse 29. Isaiah chapter number 40 from verse 29. Now, you know, let me start from verse 28. I've been saying that what I'm doing this morning is teaching. Amen. And I'd like you to please follow me now. Isaiah 40 from verse 20. It says, hast thou not known and hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, faint not? Tell your neighbor, the creator of the ends of the earth faint not. Neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the what? Faint. And to them that has no might, increase strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. So if there's anyone who dares to wait, they will have strength. Praise God. Amen. Anyone who dares to wait will what? Have strength. It says, I love the way that scripture, it says, have you not known and have you not heard? Are you confused? Are you aware that, listen to this, even in your weakest state where the fire seems to be gone and you look to be crawling and it looks like the devil can kill you any moment from now, when you are at the brink of death and close to the path where the devil kills and destroys, if only you can say, Habba, he comes. The issue is that the devil has orchestrated doctrinal belief in people where they never call him God. And even at the point where they should cry to him, instead of crying to him, they believe he wants to judge and he wants to kill them. They believe he's the one that wants to destroy them. They believe God is waiting for them to fall and decline to a certain level of spiritual coldness so he can afflict them with sickness. That's not the ways of God. What he wants to do is that he wants to heal, he wants to bind, he wants to restore. It is the devil who kills, who destroys. The one who steals, who kills, and who destroys. God wants to give life and he wants to give abundantly. And the Bible says that in him is that life and that life is the light of men. And we know that every real light, when you come close, has the intensity with which it burns. And that's fire. You can't separate life from light. You can't separate light from fire. Amen. God is the Father of all light. He's the one who dwells in unapproachable light. As we come to him, we glow. From our weakest state, we glow. People lose their fire because they never go to him in prayer. They never reach out to him for help. They never reach out to him for strength. And most people never reach out to him because they feel he's waiting for them to come so he can remind them of their sins and then judge and destroy them. God is not going, he's not waiting to destroy you because you've made a mistake. He understands your frame. He understands your frailties. And what he wants to do is that he wants to give you strength. Amen. He wants to give you what? Strength. He wants to give you strength. He wants to help you. He wants to fire you up for his strength. But you have to go to him to be fired up. Amen. You have to go to him to be fired up. You have to trust him. You have to trust in the fact that he is not waiting to kill and destroy you. What he wants to do is to renew your strength. He wants to renew your strength. And I say, I've not been studying my Bible. Start. Then you'll notice that he's been waiting for you to study. And God does give makeup class. He helps you catch up. Amen. So don't see, everything the Holy Ghost does is for you to align with God's intention. That's everything he does. So don't think the Holy Spirit is that spirit that now wait and say, you've missed a season. Ah, you will suffer. Hey, I will make sure you suffer. No, no. What he does is that he tries to help you catch up. Even David, that did not have the Holy Ghost resident in him. In those days, the Spirit of God descends and ascends. When he made mistake and slept with Bathsheba. Now, I'm not giving this as a license to go and start sleeping around. But God still brought beauty out of that ashes and brought Solomon out. God is not waiting to kill you because you've made a mistake. And if you understand this, this tells you the love of God is a responsibility, not a license to sin. Because when you have found love so much, you ought to give so much, then you also ought to make good use of that which is coming from God's benevolence. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants your fire intact and he wants your love for him intact. Don't lose it to the lawless situation of the world that is going to be increasingly lawless. And we're in the days where men will need to live with Bible wisdom. Because the Bible or the biblical or the tribulation described monumentally in scriptures were in the days where they are happening. So you need the Bible wisdom to know when to talk and how to talk and who to talk to. and who not to talk to. And as I was talking, I saw different kinds of... Now, before I say this, many people do not understand the power in teaching. You see, that people have wrongly assumed that once you are a teacher, you are powerless. No, there's power in the word, particularly if communicated from an altar of prayer. I saw of the enemy melting up. I'm telling you, I saw the heart of men being replaced with fire. I saw siege of the enemy that he has laid there. I saw them being blown off. And I saw fire. I saw love. I saw genuine love entering into different hearts. I don't know if that described your experience while the word was going on. I'd like you to pray in the Holy Ghost loud and clear where you are. Oh, Jesus. I worship the Nibiti Jesu Benjoba. I worship the Kosio Fotio.
I worship the Nibiti Jesu Benjoba. I worship the Kosio.
We'll give you praise, Jesus. Pray the Holy Ghost for a moment. Oh, say friend, oh, Raka Shala Grande. Jesus. How can you walk when you don't know the ways of the way? How can you fly
when you don't know the way of the Spirit? How can you fly when you don't know the way of the wind? The power at work in you is bringing everything. In obedience to Christ,
He's bringing everything.
He's bringing everything.
In
obedience to Christ.
Swallow your pride tonight.
Come to the school of the Spirit. Yeah. Don't you know in His hand are the keys to eternal life. Yeah. A little here, a little there, until the day will dawn. He's at work in me, working everything
in
obedience to Christ.
Father, I want to thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice, and I decree there is administration of help. And I decree that there is love where the love of God or the love for God has gone down. Amen. I decree there is fire where there has been coldness. There is restoration, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every word that the Lord said that you stopped believing because you lost your fire, they are revived in your heart. In the name of Jesus, it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA.